I'm going to touch on emotions and influence, and I am going to lean a little bit more into the Jediism side of it, if that's okay. I was thinking about this earlier, and I guess this also could work on the Christian side too, you know, because emotions are very powerful.
Definitely.
And they can influence our thoughts, our reactions, our responses, and how it can change the reality of a situation. That could change the point of reference, the point of reference of where we are and how we see the outside of ourselves. As we know, emotions are something we're naturally born with. Okay. They're a mechanism for responsive, and the symptoms or the effect of a situation, news, whatever, input, stimulus. But however, what we're not taught is how we can still feel those emotions, work with them, and still not let ourselves be influenced by these. And that is where we can run into trouble. That's where we can change the outcome on things. So what I'm going to delve into here is, this is going to be touching on more into the Jediism side. And like I said, and it can also affect those in the Christian belief also, which is fine. So emotions are those natural gifts that we learn to develop, and we're taught how to by examples given us. Whether they're healthy, whether they're unhealthy. And we learn this from our growing up. But that's only part of our actual education with our emotions. That's what we go on, whether we want to make an excuse is, well, this happened and I was upset. This happened and I got mad. This happened and it really hurt. That's being all fine and good. However, how does that influence our thought? How does that influence our reality and point of reference? Point of reference meaning from us, we, I. And we want to have a way to not acknowledge those emotions due to what our responses may be. So I guess what I'm getting at is we tend to avoid what our emotions are really telling us about how we're responding. And so this can lead us into troubled waters. How being is that our logical and our rational thinking can become distorted. And that distortion can come from what we might have learned previously in our lives, our environments, examples. So from there, I'm going to delve into a little bit of how to work on separating ourselves from that as much as we can without becoming too apathetic towards a situation or something. And also what the emotions might help us be able to accomplish. provided one is skilled enough in order to manage and use that as a proactive and positive results. So we know that emotions are our best friend and can be our worst enemies. And them being our worst enemies is that when we become angry, when we become emotional, upset, in heightened states, we have a tendency to want to lash out.
Lose control.
Yes. Lash out, lose control. Vengeance, revenge, justification, justifying. And so that can lead us down a road of malicious acts. And we might justify them and rationalize them as justifiable vengeance or response in a protective manner. Yes. However, in normal cases, not the exception, not being the rule, we lose our focus, which causes us to make a decision based on choice of actions that come to mind. Meaning, we say things, we do things that have a higher consequence to that. And let's say, for example, and this is an example, this isn't, somebody runs, your dog runs out and gets hit by a car. Okay. Naturally, people are going to be upset. And naturally, there's going to be more of a irrational thing. But you know what? Let's go to a better example, something that we're going to all run into more commonly, is our response to people, things said in everyday situations. And today, people are highly reactive based on what social media has said, based on partial truths, based on partial information. This can retrain us in our thought and in our rewiring. So, because we have become a right now, an instantaneous gratification, which lessens the rational thought. It lessens the logical thought because everything right now is instantaneous. And that is counterproductive, counterintuitive to logic and rationale because it makes us reactive basically by right now. And so from that, we lose our natural abilities to practice and exercise the thinking and response. So what we've learned as we grow up is by the example of our parents, our friends, our social circles, and the pack mentality, which we respond as in peer response. We allow ourselves to be fed. And with that, based on what environment we grew up in, you combine the two. If you grew up in a supportive, wholesome environment and learned how to respond and learn to let yourself voice, then we can learn productive ways. by this might have been a better way to respond. So, keeping in mind, that is what we initially learned. Though that's the reason, it doesn't grant us the excuse and how we might react, how we might see things differently from our point of reference. So, getting into this, when we're escalated, when our emotions are heightened, when we've become hurt, our basic instincts, our fundamental thoughts, our fundamental, more feral instincts take over. That's our fight responses if we're angry. So if one is of the mind, we have to look at what is causing. Why am I upset? How come I'm upset? Easier said than done, sure. But that also goes to how we are as an individual and our maturity levels and in our developments. And as I said, I'm going to touch more into the more Jedi side of this today. And I know that this room is pretty much a neutral ground, but however, I feel it pertinent. We will look at our emotions in three aspects: the light, the dark, and the middle, or gray. In the light side, there is more of a calming and more of a avoiding the emotions, more of, you know, calm yourself, let yourself, you know, go meditate on this, go find peace. Okay. And however, it is widely taught that how can this turn us to the dark? It's never taught how to sort. And if it is, it's touched on shortly. It's touched on in only bites. Never a full training. So when one says, go find peace, one says, meditate on this, that isn't actually a logical and practical teaching, because you're not addressing, which over time leads to buildups. It causes resentment builds. And how our emotions can lead us into more of the dark side is that eventually the mind will retaliate. Eventually, our wanting to find answers will become and can become an obsession, which is also part of a dark side, which can lead us into more irrational behaviors, more anger, resentment focused, which is highly non-productive. And then when this starts to occur, we have allowed ourselves to become enmeshed into our emotions. We have allowed ourselves to become influenced in our thought and our perspectives in how we reference. We become, we question everything. We suspect everything. We become overly cynical. We become highly doubtful of people that are normally good people that tell us and give us good advice and that are normally supportive and are good influences. We become suspicious. And that's because we haven't learned to filter what the cause might be, or how to productively manage ourselves. And notice I'm not saying ignore, I'm saying manage. And this is where our separation and detachment from, we're not allowing our emotions to influence what our thoughts may be, what our reactions might be, what our response may be, what our thoughts on a situation may be, when normally we're a very logical, very practical-minded, very even-tempered individual. Throw that in, we are not so much of that anymore. We have become a different person for the moment. We have become a different, of a different mind. Now, there's all kinds of psychological stuff to go along with this. If I was a psychologist or a counselor, yeah, there's all kinds of things. But I'm not, so I'm not going to go into that. This changes our daily lives when we are fed by our emotions and led by our emotions. We lose the reality. We lose the perspective. We lose actual thought, meaning biologically and physically, we lessen our breathing. We cut off oxygen to ourselves, which is nurturing, because our response is to breathe faster, breathe heavier. That takes us away from where we need to be. And I'm not saying should, I'm not saying ought to be. Those are ways to say absolutely should absolutely be at that point. We're not robots. We're not programmed to be absolute in that realm. To walk away from our emotions to where we should and ought to be is counter-human. When we deny, we are also harming. We are not learning. We are denying. Denial is a form of suffering. Denial causes a hunger, a need for nourishment. When one becomes hungry, they can become desperate. When one is desperate, they become dangerous, which means they have stepped over into the darker side of their own nature. Now, coupled with that, with the force, then one becomes a time bomb. And when they've already started on their emotional journey and their emotional walk down that path, they've already started themselves down into the dark side. Because they are driven by this quest for answers emotionally. When one does not get that nurturing and that nourishment for that, they only resort to their natural instincts, which is defeat, which is to survive. Now, the other side of that is flight, which is fear, which is also an emotion. But in anger, and our emotions also are part fear-based too, from anger. Because there are two emotions that mainly are the most powerful. One is anger, and one is fear. They can determine our response. So if we're in fight, nothing is friendly, which goes back to everything is suspicious. And so nothing is friendly. Nothing is comforting. You're suffering. So the dark side feeds that, and it feeds off of it. In our actions, we become more self-loathing, which is also a way into the dark side, part of the dark side. And we can mask that and use it and say, I'm focused. You may be focused, but what are you focused on? Are you focused on your sole purpose and reason, driven by emotions? Or are you focused on your own self-gratification, which is also dark side traits, dark side practice, which we justify and some might say are righteous. And there's a difference between a righteous justification and just a justification out of vengeance and anger. A righteous justification is the soul act to correct a wrong with valid reasons, rational, logical reasons, productive reasons, protective reasons. The other is just a sheer act of vengeance and revenge based on our own desire to seek justice. And this is all fine and good. But if it is driven by our darker nature and fueling it with the force, you are a time bomb. You have thus turned because anything that you once stood for ceases to exist or is diminishing. Once one has succumbed to our emotions, this is a path of destruction. It could be self-destruction or destruction of relationships. It could be destruction of our mental and our well-being and our health. And denial is also its quartermaster. And once one is fueled by their more basic instincts and their more fundamental survivals, the light side creeps further away because of our emotional state. We can have a prolonged emotional state or an immediate. The immediate is more or less easier to manage. We are still in a state of being reached. We're still in a state of being managed. But when we are not taught or trained to be able to step away, to detach, to look, then we are on a one-way ticket. We are asking and this is also very deceptive, because we will seek lesser people that are more productive to our own growth. We seek those that will support our thought, our perspective. We're seeking for ways of an impractical resolution, a destructive resolution. And yes, I'm looking more into the extreme end, but depending, however, in this, this can become the eventual addictions, dysfunctional relationships, self-destructive behavior. And we find ways that will seek to comfort us, which appear to be the answer. And they will last for a while. Because in the dark side, it's said that things are quick and easy, the immediate. And that feeds only part of our minds. That only feeds part of the nourishment needed. You know, in, I believe, the Luke Skywalker code, if one stays in the shadows too long, one becomes dark. Without the feeding of the light side, we can succumb, paraphrasing per se. So this is one's journey into the dark side. Because the dark side is a breeding of information of inner reading, lack of enlightenment. And when we become enlightened, it's not enlightened as in a magical sky opening up and the lights of heavens, and you know, one is magically transformed into this all-seeing wise individual. Enlightenment is momentarily realizations, epiphanies, is the enlightenment. Realizations. Now, the dark side is, as so many put, hate, resentment. Passion. Anger, fear, rage. And personal interest solely. Self-gratification. Basically, we have become gluttonous in our living, in our drives. This is not of the light side. The light side is more of the nurturing. It's more of the productive, nurturing, nourishing. Less consequences. The light side is all that is to seek solace, more diplomacy, more rational, more logical thinking. The nurturing, the solution based of peace, the negotiations, the delegations, the diplomacy. But this does also lead us more of a way from an emotional balance. One can become neglectful. And one can become to live in an idealistic world, almost a pacifist type life. And that also is, by some schools of thought, that the light side is total peace. If we look into the code, there's passion, yet peace. Or chaos, yet peace. Well, the dark side is chaos. The dark side feeds from chaos. It looks for chaos, ways to self feed, to stir it, to have a cause for an effect. And for the effect to have a cause and a reason. Though the nurturing aspects are great, they help us learn to calm. They help us learn to find our center, to find our balance, to look for more productive ways of the harmony, the ebb. and the peaceful ebb flow, which is very much of where any person likes to be. It's more healthy for any of us. It's shown to have greater health benefits mentally, emotionally, cardiovascular, all of that. And there's a whole bunch of physiological and biological effects that being angry can cause. And this is not neither the time nor the place. But on the other side of that too, that can also be as destructive. Because if one is always seeking peace, one is ignoring the other causes. We're neglecting our growth. I'm not saying this to the majority. I'm saying this is more of the norm in many cases. And so, where does one strike the growth? Where does one strike that point of nourishment? One has to learn themselves. One has to learn to be less reactive. One has to practice. One has to unlearn what they have learned. Empty your cup, which is commonly used, quoted by Bruce Lee. So when we learn to calm, when we learn more of the positive aspects, yes, learning to work with all of that, learning to become more productive. Self-research, if we go back and look at the self-searching, these can be the main reasons of how come the dark side still resides within us. How come our darker sides still are prevalent? When they're more prevalent, the light side does no good for us to exist. You're in an endless search until one faces. And even though those searchings are painful, they're not of the dark side. Yes, they're more critical of our actions and our thoughts. But that's part of growth. That's part of developing. That's part of becoming different. That's part of who we envision ourselves to be. And people say, and it said that acknowledging those darker traits can be self we can lower ourselves in our own view. I forget the word for it. Self-deprecating. Okay.
Humbling.
Yeah. Well, you're when you look at all your flaws and your defects, some people look at it as you're actually not allowing yourself to see your better attributes, your better qualities. Well, when we're looking at those things, those are to help us get to our better qualities, our better attributes, a better character. This is what the light side helps. Those finer qualities, the better self, the less into ego. Because ego is also part of the dark side, if not maintained and not kept in check, which could also be very good, or in this case of the dark side in our emotions, could be very egotistic driven. The selfish, the glutton, which in some cases in Christianity is part of the sins, it's part of one of the seven sins. And in that, we have, so therein lies also the imbalance, going too far to one side. Because when you are denying the dark side, you acknowledge it, however, but if you do everything to avoid it, you're still feeding it. Because the dark side eventually can play the long game. Can the light side play the long game?
Sure. Absolutely.
You sure can.
And eventually the light will overtake and defeat the dark.
It can. But how do we learn to keep it at bay? How do we learn to coexist with it?
It's like a child. You tell a child, don't touch fire. But instead, a good parent will take that child and move their hand toward the heat and let them feel the heat. And the further you go, the more heat you feel, and it begins to hurt.
Right, right. So you've gotten a taste of it. It's painful. But we can also become too fearful of that pain.
True.
We can step too far from it, which in the dark side sense, our lives then become fear-based and fear-driven.
And that's what feeds the dark.
Yeah. You know,
and it goes back to a quote that Yoda said in this Star Wars movie. What was it? Fear leads to hate. Hate leads to whatever, whatever.
Right, right. Fear leads to hate. Hate leads to suffering. Okay.
I couldn't remember the exact quote, so sorry about
right.
that.
That's okay. That's all right. That's fine.
Fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to suffering.
Yeah. Good job. Good job. So all of those are basically the major... The major ingredients. So from there, one can live in the light side and still hold those and lock them away. And eventually, yeah, you're still maintaining
unbalanced,
right? One can lead themselves into the delusion of being balanced by subduing, arresting our emotions.
Ooh.
What I mean by subduing and arresting is, in earlier on, I had mentioned apathy. Or apathetic. Okay. Those are the same.
I'm going to use an analogy here that from another scientific lore of Star Trek, but the Vulcans, they essentially locked away all of their emotions,
right?
Which at times seemed very detrimental.
Mm-hmm.
They seemed cold and callous, but at the same time, you could see their emotions seeping through, but yet in check.
Right. Complete self-monitoring, complete self-aware. Overly so.
Dangerous.
Dictatorship, you know. And that leads one to think that if one totally ignores the other, it is a utopian existence. Well, before Eve took the bite of the apple, and was tempted by Satan from the serpent, wasn't that a utopian existence, but still the ignoring of the other? And I'm not trying to be blasphemy when I talk.
No. You're right. It was the epitome of a utopia and an actual, not a virtual, but a literal paradise.
Right. So
where there was nothing wrong, you know, right. I mean, it was perfection, but not just personified, but literalized until they made a mistake.
Right. And so with that bite of the apple, open the chest.
Pandora's box.
Pandora's box. So
that's what we call it. It's the same effect, but
yeah. So this in effect can be what the dark side is. You've let in and disturbed the utopia, the Eden. And so one can lean too far, which when one is becoming judgmental of I failed in being a good Jedi, one is being overly critical. This is where one learns, or the practice of becoming neutral to your actions, to your feelings, detaching. I'm not saying ignore, lessening the influence, stepping outside of the situation, stepping away. Maintaining. We can feel the emotions. We can acknowledge the emotions. We can acknowledge what we want to do, what we desire to do. We can acknowledge, I want justice. I want revenge. I want this solved. I want this to end. There's nothing wrong with acknowledging any of that. It doesn't mean one is less. It means one is greater.
Mm.
Because you are acknowledging the existence of it. You are acknowledging the presence. When one acknowledges the presence, one gains control over. One manages I'm not saying arrest. I'm not saying subdue. I'm not saying submit the emotions and make them submit. I'm saying acknowledge. Acknowledge which emotions are present. Acknowledge to solve. Acknowledge diplomacy with ourselves and with those that may have stirred. But let's not fool ourselves. Nobody is responsible for our feelings. What emotions may arise? Their actions might cause our emotional response, but they are not responsible. We are. Denial is that of the dark side, which is lack of acknowledgement. When one resides with the dark side, one is failing to take responsibility. One is failing. There is no success in lack to seek failure. You are seeking failure. What I mean by how you're seeking failure with the dark side is you're seeking to destroy, you're seeking destruction. You're seeking to completely have victory, to appear to have victory.
A facade.
Yeah, a facade.
It's an interesting perspective.
Because if one goes and falls to the dark side, sure, you're driven. Sure, you're going to find answers. Sure, you're going to get answers. You might get the answers you want, but at what cost?
And who does it hurt in the process?
Right. It's costly. But when ignoring all those emotions is also costly. Now, which is more costly? Too far to one side or too far to the other?
I'd rather be too far to the right, personally.
Okay. Well, yes, there will be less harm all the way around. Sure, you might get positive results from falling to the dark side and completely, if one wanted to go to the extreme and scorch earth, but you've left a vacuum.
So many people in history, and even in our today, they've gotten filthy, stinking rich by walking on, stepping on, and crushing other people, and in the process of gaining that wealth. But the end of is, you know, is it really worth it?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Ill actions begets ill action.
And the old karma routine.
Right. The eye for an eye, if one would say.
Reap what you sow, et cetera, right. Et cetera.
All that.
Yin and yang.
Exactly. Because when one seeks evil, when one seeks an evil pursuit.
Path.
Then you have asked for in kind. You have asked for what you receive.
Retribution is coming.
Right. Retribution is the response.
Now, whether that retribution is revenge or just circumstantial happenings is a right. whole different ballgame.
Exactly. And so, is one willing to pay that cost?
Not can me.
Can you afford it?
Nope.
Can you afford the expense? Can you afford the loss? Either way, the light side still has its cost.
Yeah.
Okay. The light, though there's more gain, but there's also still loss.
That goes back to the political slogan that freedom is not free.
Exactly. Nothing is ever free. There's always a cost. But at what cost are you willing to pay? What are you willing to uphold? What are you willing to stand behind? If your cost is for the greater, and you're willing to pay that price for the greater, for people to flourish, by all means, pay it.
I mean, I've always said that I'm willing to lay my life down for my family, for my country, and even for my God.
Right.
And in that case, that the price, that sacrificial price is not too high.
Mm-hmm.
By not doing so would be the higher price
mm-hmm.
that I'm not willing to pay. Because right. who would, if I, who's to say if I was to save my life,
mm-hmm.
that it would cost someone else's theirs?
Right, right.
Which is the greater harm and the greater price as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, so... Okay.
And that's purely argumentative.
Right, right. It can be. And I'm going to step into another angle here. Gomor.
Ooh.
The sacrificial lamb. Okay. It was rumored by the golden calf to sacrifice to appease, right? Okay. Though people were being hedonistic, though people were enjoying and indulging on their immediate desires, hedonism, the dark side seeks hedonism. The dark side seeks the self-fulfilling, the pride. And this is where people can't have a hard time drawing the parallel of Gomor. Was the example, the epitome of the self-fulfilling. And yes, the dark side does have some very productive ways to fulfill one's needs. And I'll get into that in a moment. Okay. This is the part that is ignored. This is the part that people in the Jedi community want to steer from. And I'm not going to say this is the truth. I'm not going to say this is the reality. I'm just saying that this is a practice. Okay? So I want it stated on note, I'm not saying this is the truth. This is the this is not what I'm saying. I'm putting a disclaimer on that. The dark side does have its productive attributes. One of them may be, if someone is to be told bad news, but in telling that person the bad news, if we tell them the whole reality, the whole truth, it might cause more harm. It might cause more detriment. Whereas if one is already grieving, one would be causing more harm. So it would be more prudent to lessen what one is told. One might call that a dark side thing because you are manipulating the situation. Well, in that case, it is for the benefit the light side would like to lessen the harm. And for us to be more grateful and be more gracious about our decisions, about our reactions, and the forgiveness of ourselves and of others. There's nothing wrong with that. But this in lies where the balance suffers. Too far one way, too far the other. One or the other is in balance, leaning. Now I'm going to touch on an area that for subjective reasons hasn't been touched on that much. I'm going to touch into the middle ground. I'm going to touch onto the gray areas, to the gray. There's been a misconception that those that walk the gray path are more self-indulgent, more justified in their actions, more self-seeking. More looking out for the I. More looking out for one's own purpose. Okay. They are always phrased in negative context. They are phrased in ways to show bias. To show jealousy. To show envy. To show fear. On the middle ground, one works to face and manage all of that. One works and trains to manage it. Some may call it shadow work. That shadow work is to help reduce what has caused harm. our history, our past. The middle ground, the acknowledgement, and the existence in both dark and light. It is said one cannot be without the other, the dark and the light. And earlier I had mentioned where the dark side has its attributes, has its productive means. And this is where people don't want to actually look at how can the dark side be advantageous to the greater? How can the dark side benefit? Well, when one delves into their darker natures and discovers the causes of their anger, discovers the causes of their resentments, one gains power over them. One gains control over them. One gains the choice of when. What I mean by the when is, when do those dark parts of us become productive? When do they become advantageous? The dark side, yes, is very powerful. The light side is very powerful. But there's one main ingredient to all of this, is the Force. Anger is just anger. Peace is just peace. Calm is calm. When one, however, learns to manage your dark nature in a heightened state with the focal of the light and the greater, this is where the dark side becomes productive. You are focusing, and it becomes your purpose. One is focusing that energy to do good, to gain the outcome for the greater. It's not an act of vengeance. It's an act of righteous justice. It's an act in the pursuit of resolve and resolution. But in that, one does not come to this point lightly. One practices diplomacy. One practices negotiation with themselves and with those involved. So you are practicing a light side. You are walking the light side. One can step into the dark side if one is good with who they are. If one is in the realization of their motives. If one has examined their motives and realizes and has weighed the consequences and the cost with the sacrifice of themselves for the greater, and is paying that cost willingly for those that will benefit, then yes, succumbing to the dark side isn't the choice. It's allowing the darker side to emerge, not succumb. Succumbing would be giving myself to the dark side and being absorbed into it, becoming a part of it in practice. You are allowing your darker nature to flow, to happen. You are permitting the methods, though questionable, the thought logical, the thought rational. This is where the examination comes into play. This is where the examination, the delegation, and how long and what responsibility are you willing to bear in this, the maturity and the character. With the dark side, character is lessened. Character is masked by greed. Self-involved. When one walks the middle in allowing, ego is not the part. Self-gratification is not the part. The motivation is the reason. The cause is the purpose. So this is where one carefully weighs how one is to use the dark side attributes, where one uses the dark side as the productive means. If one has been wronged and no justice has been sought, the righteous would be to correct the wrong for the better and never for selfish. This is where we have to be comfortable with the discomfort, with the choices we normally would not make, the less peaceful. In a controlled chaos, a managed, a directed chaos, and to find the solution and to resolve is the focus, is the purpose, not for selfish desires, not out of loathing for ourselves or others, for the cause. That is the basic sum of the gray. That's the basis of the gray. Everything that is negative becomes the fuel for the solution of the greater to resolve and to find peace. It's not a selfish intent of ego. It's not seeking self-gratification in a hedonistic manner. It is to correct the wrongs in a less peaceful way. In a way that one and those around you are uncomfortable with. It is the discomfort one is willing to endure. This is where the gray in the middle has the productive results. And this is where people misunderstand. If one says, well, I'm a gray, I do this because I must. No. One is doing it out of the want. Not out of I must. And this is where one has to be honest with themselves. One can say, I want a solution. I want to resolve. No, there is the need to resolve. And on the middle and in the gray, our human nature is acknowledged to its full extent. We walk in harmony with our lesser. We are acknowledging our fundamental being, our basic instincts. We walk with that because those are the more feral instincts we acknowledge, the more feral behaviors, thoughts. And we have the understanding, and there is the understanding of that. And one is comfortable with it. One has acknowledged it. Those in some way may say the darker. Because one is willing to go further. One is willing to live with the consequences. Not create consequences out of a self-gratification to justify. Now, there are other parts of that that I could go into, but that's a class for another day.
Ooh, this has been a good class anyway.
And I know in some ways I've spoken in general.
Sometimes generality is better.
Right. But there are parts of this, and I believe that I have nothing against the light side. I prefer to be its ally. And any good, wholesome gray would. But where people, as I've said, the I and the selfish beings, a gray is independent of the influence. They are self-reliant. They do not allow the influence of either. They are independent. There's no ego involved. And that's why I said in the beginning of this, before I led into this, all of it is out of envy, jealousy. Resentment. because either one is unable or one has not been taught or one is incapable to manage that part of themselves. And that is passed on by others out of their own bias. The great recognizes the actions of either side by what they are. The actual reality. It's a non-biased existence. It's a non-biased path. That's why in some ways it's also referred to as a neutral path. The middle. You're walking between both. You're walking with both. Both have their equal place. One has their time and place. Now, when one does turn and allow themselves to allow their darker nature to happen in action and in pursuit, it is never a joyous occasion. It is never a comfortable feeling. It is never one that one looks towards for the solution. There's no joy. There's no celebration of because the cost and the responsibility and the consequences are much higher for the person and the results. There is greater risk all the way. The scorched earth is willing to be taken. That measure is willing to be practiced for the better. For the greater, as last resort. Notice I said last resort. It's not the first resort, it's the last always. Whereas a light side is from the start is always seeking the resolution from the start. The dark side is always seeking the harm from the start. The middle is the graduation. The gradual steps and the graduation to the next step. It's not the start result and the start action. Are there influences in process during? Yes. Because one's intent, they have already come to the result through the delegation. They have already decided, I am willing, I am able. They have already committed to the cause. This comes with great responsibility, with great self-reflection. Weighing and measuring. And your character, your resolve. Now, I don't know if that lends to clarification. I hope it does.
At least a better understanding.
Yeah.
Now, whether a person agrees with it, that's a whole different story.
Well, yeah, and there's always going to be a variance of opinion. And you ask, you ask any Jedi, you ask any Sith, you ask any Grey, there's always going to be which side of the orange are you looking at? Yeah. So it's a matter of choices. It's a matter of actions. One can choose the path to the dark side to lend themselves to it. Not everybody realizes they're going down the path until they're there. And one can. And they can come back and they can correct. No one is impervious. One that walks a gray path can easily succumb. I've seen 3 to 4 people succumb, practitioners. They were on the path of redemption. They were in complete suffering. They had allowed themselves to become too justified in their actions. Their passions became their drive. Their justifications became their purpose. With any side and with any view of one's of the other purposes and other person's practices always stems from ignorance, from assumptions. We'll refer to the codes, and I'm talking the various light side, I'm talking the various Sith, and I'm also talking the gray codes. Each one of those gives the instructions. The Sith code in itself is not bad. One seeks to free themselves of what is holding them back. One seeks to better and to become stronger and to victor over. Okay. To free ourselves one has to break those chains. Okay.
But what method is the problem?
Exactly. Now, if one seeks the truth, one shall be free. Right? That's knowledge. In the Christian beliefs, that would be to seek more of what God's will has for you. Okay? From the Bible. Okay, from the Jedi, it's more self-discovery. It's how we discipline ourselves. It's how we seek the knowledge. But it's what we do with that knowledge that makes the difference. It's how we react to the knowledge. It's what we do with it, how we carry it. And from there, one can decide and one can choose. That's all.